If I'm not mistaken, we're up to Simon Tov Resh Mem, and we are up to, in Siv Dalet. I'd like to, I know we discussed it a little bit, I'd like to start again from Siv Dalet, in the middle of Siv Dalet, which is in the bottom of page 214. I know we learned this a little bit, but I want to go through it again, if that's okay, just to get the whole picture. From the bottom of page 214, which the words starting in the Ramah, Mishal Ayuchal Lishon, Besukah. It's about halfway the Ramah. I think we've learned it a little bit, we've touched on it, but I'd like to start from there again. Yeah, is that okay? Okay, Mishaloi Yuchal Lishon Besukah. Someone who cannot sleep in the Sukkah. Machmas Shitzarloi Bepishut Yodov Raglov. Somebody can't sleep in the Sukkah because the Sukkah is built the minimum size Sukkah, which is Zayin on Zayin, 7 on 7 Tvachim, which is very small. He's built a very small Sukkah. And he can't sleep there because he can't stretch himself. It's a tiny Sukkah, he can't stretch himself. So the halacha is that loy mikri mitzvah, it's not considered mitzvah. Although arguably, to sleep in a place that you can't stretch yourself, that you can just, you're all completely squashed and you can't really stretch yourself, is very, you're not comfortable. Nevertheless, the Ramah said that's not considered mitzvah. V'chayiv lishon sham, and you are obligated to sleep there, afal gav, although it's a chlich for yodav raglav, although you have to squash yourself, you have to squeeze in, as it were, nevertheless, you are obligated to sleep there. Now this, of course, is a bit hard to understand. Why is that so? Why is that so? Why is it not considered mitzvah? I'm very uncomfortable. If I would have to sleep in a place that is so small, imagine 7 tfachim on 7 tfachim, you have to like somehow squash yourself into that such an area. You're not considered mitzvah at all. The Ramah says you are obligated to sleep there. Although you can't stretch yourself at all. The Mishnah Berurah says, just to have the Mishnah Berurah says in Zivkot Chavav, he says the following, the Derech HaAdam, it is the way of a person, lif'omim occasionally, lishon kach kofof. Sometimes you make yourself, you squash yourself a little bit more, and therefore that's not considered mitztayer. V'raya, and the proof is, ma'adakai melon, that we paskin, sheshir sukkah, that the minimum shear of a sukkah is, sheval shiva tfachim, 7 on 7 tfachim. Therefore it's kosher. It's impossible for anybody to sleep on a 7-on-7 area unless you squash yourself, unless you squeeze yourself in. Therefore, you have a proof that it's kosher. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. What do you think about this, Rabbi Yosai? Right. You see, yeah, you could sleep sitting. Right, and that is going to be not. You're not going to have 7 on 7 tfachim. You're not going to be. It's hard to sleep through a night like this for a whole week. Yeah, that's true. That's true as well. That's true. When you age, the older you get, yeah, yeah. I always feel when I have to fight with my children to put them to bed. I say, I don't find it hard to go to bed anymore. Yes.
It's very interesting what you said. What about you will not be able to sleep because you're so squashed up, supposing you're a very large person?
Yeah, and you can't.
What if you're going to be.
Right, so that's very interesting what you were saying, because it's a very interesting point, because what you were saying is touching on the Mishnah Berurah, two lines later, who says that, in the name of the Na'ar Shaloi, that if he's really, he brings from the Na'ar Shaloi, that if somebody is really more of a sensitive person, and he's going to really struggle to sleep like that, he actually would be exempt. If it's an individual who really, as you're saying, will get up in pain and it's going to be impossible for him, then he would actually be exempt. But as a whole, as a rule, it's actually not considered an exemption, which is very interesting. Very interesting. The Reb Shlomo Zalman brought for me a proof that anything brought a proof from this halach over here that any exemption that is because of the temporary aspect of the sukkah is not considered an exemption. Any because that's the minimum share of a sukkah 7-on-7. The Mishnah says a 7-on-7 sukkah is kosher. So he said there must be that it's okay. So that's how sukkahs are built. So a person can't claim I'm uncomfortable, I'm mitzdaya. Because that's what the Torah says. Sukkah is always going to be a little bit less comfortable. Sukkahs by definition are going to be a little bit less comfortable. So he says that anything that has to do with that Arai type of aspect of the sukkah is not considered an exemption of mitzvah. That's what Shlomo Zalman says. Okay, continues the Rambam. Ve'lo yuchal odom loyma mitzvah oni. A person cannot say I'm mitzvah, I'm uncomfortable. Elo bedavar shederech bnei odom leitzvah. But you can only say I'm mitzvah, I'm uncomfortable, which is something regular, something normal to be mitzvah. So if you say, oh, I can't sleep in the sukkah, I feel people are watching me. I don't know, people saying, I can't sleep in the sukkah, I can't be in the sukkah because I feel that ants, that's right. And it's not a real issue, it's just you can see an ant, the corner of your eye, you know, once or twice, if it's not a real issue, then that you can't say. You can only be a mitzvah if it's something which is normal to be a mitzvah. You can't be overly, you know, in an exaggerated way, you know what I mean, difficult. So that's not good. So that's what it says. Elo bedavo, something regular, with regular. Mishnimun Zivkot in Chav Ches says the following. In Chav Tes says the following. Shadayach bnei Adam leitzta, but says the Mishnimun in Chav Tes, im lo yishu manine adas. Unless he's really, really an exceptional person. V'kol anine adas mitzta'an b'zeh. If you're really an exceptional person, and you're really extremely bothered by something, then it will be different. But you can't just say, go in the circuit, oh, that's a little bit dark for me. Oh, that's a little bit light for me. Oh, that's the ant on the corner of my eye is disturbing me. If it's not genuinely disturbing you, then you're not. Then that's not considered a mitzvah. However, if you are that kind of person, extremely bothered by that detail, then maybe you can. There is a ptur, but you can't just come and claim something incorrectly. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. Okay, continues the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Seif Hei. Oveil Chayiv B'Sukkah. Mourner is obligated in Sukkah. Now that's actually a very interesting halacha. Because why would we have thought that an Oveil is actually exempt? Think about a mourner. Why would you have thought a mourner is exempt? So therefore, he can't really have Simcha. Very good. So the point is well taken that we would have thought that maybe an Oval is anyway not in a very good mood. He's anyway in a state of mitzta'er. So I would have thought maybe that an Oval is exempt because he's mitzta'er anyway. He's just lost his close relative. He's in a very poor state of mind. He's mitzta'er anyway. So I would have thought maybe he's exempt. So why is it takachayev? Very good. That's exactly the point. He's not going to feel any better by going inside. But that has a lot of halachic ramification, what you say. Because what we are learning now, from the fact that an oven is chayiv b'sukkah, we're learning that you're only exempt from getting out of the sukkah if that's actually going to help you. I'll tell you a shayla and you tell me what you think. Imagine somebody's got a splitting headache. But a kind of headache that he's got a migraine. Okay, I don't know if migraine is a good example, okay? Maybe migraine is not a good example, but I just want to bring a point out. Okay, if somebody's got migraine, and he says in his sukkah, and then he's got these migraines occasionally, and he knows that the splitting headaches, he just can't. So he wants to, sit in the sukkah, and he says, oh, I've got this headache, I'm going to go inside the house. Now, if at house, he's going to feel just as lousy, and it's not going to help him one bit to be inside the house. He just needs to take his paracetamol, or he just needs to do whatever he needs to do. But the actual fact of going inside the house is not going to help him. What will be the halacha? That's right, you can't go out. And this is a very important rule that I think many are unaware. You can't just, if you're just in the sukkah and you say, I'm mitzvah now, so the question is going to be, well, is it going to help you to go inside the house or not? Because if the answer is no, he's going to feel just as lousy going inside the house, the halach is the same than the oval. The oval is chai b'sukkah. It's true that he's very uncomfortable, but it's not going to help him to go inside the house because it's not going to bring his relative back. So therefore, an oval is chayiv b'sukkah. So we always have to remember this is a very important rule because I think that, can you think of any other examples? That by going inside the house is not going to help you. I think there's quite a number of such cases. I think, yeah, somebody's unwell, and sometimes it helps to go, you don't want to go to bed or something, that's something else, but often it starts not. Exactly, if the house is leaking, somebody's got building works in the house, and it says, yeah, yeah. So says the Mishnah Berurah, let's see that inside. Ovel Chai B'Sukkah, says the Mishnah Berurah, in Sifkot Lamed Aleph, the Alpha Gav, the Mitzvah, Potter Min HaSukkah, although Mitzvah is exempt from the Sukkah, Hane Mele Tzar De Memele, that's only Tzar, which comes externally, Habo Lo Machmas HaSukkah, that is coming because of the Sukkah. Aval Hoche, but here, Iyu Kamitzah Nafshe, he is suffering himself. The words of the Mishnah Berurah is he has to calm himself down in order to fulfill the mitzvah. In other words, it's in his hands to calm himself down and to rationalize his loss and to distance himself from the suffering. In other words, it's not going to make a difference to go, you know, whatever you can do, you can be inside or outside the sukkah. It's not going to change matters at all. Therefore, you're obligated to stay in the sukkah. Okay, see Vav. Chosn v'shoishvinov, chosn, we just come out. V'shoishvinov, the interferers, people who take him out of the chuppah, v'chotn ha'chuppah, and anybody who's closely related to the chuppah, pturim min ha'sukkah, exempt from the sukkah, kol shivasim ha'mishta, all the sheva brachas, the shivasim ha'mishta. The brackets add over here, sudas brismila, with regards to brismila suda, anybody made the brismila on sukkah's time? No, it happens occasionally, no. Suda's brismila, v'chen ha-suda, and also the suda, sh'oich le'etzel ha-yeledes, the suda will eat by the lady that just gave birth, chayov mi-sukkah, those are obligated in the sukkah. So again, chosen is part of the sukkah, all the sheva brachas, and the brismila, however, and the suda eat by the yeledes, are chayev. Why is that all? The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Lamed Beis explains the following. Chosen, the ain simcha lo bechuppah. The main simcha is by the chuppah. The chuppah nikra mokam amuchan lishivas chosen v'kala. Chuppah is not exactly what we call the chuppah. It's more like the yichud room that is the place, the area designated for the chosen and the kala. Ve'en yecholim lechol besukkah. They won't be able to eat in the sukkah v'lismach bechuppah and relax and enjoy the chuppah. The ain simcha lo mokam suda. So therefore, the chosn is exempt from eating the sukkah during the first 7 days of his chasana. Some want to extend this. There's some poskim on Mekel when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, a little bit based on that, not completely based on that, a little bit based on that. When it comes to Shana Rishona, some poskim say that sleeping in the sukkah is people don't have to sleep in the sukkah Shana Rishona. Also, a bit similar to that, v'sumachta bechagecho, etc.
Sheva brachas, he's just got
married
before.
Correct.
And now he's Sheva brachas.
Correct. Leading into Chol HaMoed, yes.
So where does he do a Sheva brachas?
Correct. You. So the Mishnah Berurah says the following. If you look in Sifkot Lamed Gimel, I appreciate your point. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Lamed Gimel says the following. Pturim in Asuka. V'yesh mechayv v'noy. So some disagree with that, and they're coming from a little bit. They're claiming what you are saying. The Svir Elu, because they say the Efshal Lechol Besuka. You can eat in the Sukkah v'lismach b'chuppah and have a chuppah and have chuppah afterwards. Well, why on earth? It's not contradicting each other. Have a nice meal in the sukkah, and afterwards, you know, he doesn't contradict at all. You can misamech in the chuppah. You don't have to have every. Our kenis kimo achonim. Therefore, the achonim write the following: the ra'ui lechosn. It is appropriate for chosn lehachmir al asmat v'machmir on himself. V'leishah besukkah. He should sit in the sukkah v'lo yivorich. He should not make a bracha. However, v'chena shishvinim k'sha'oich le'etzel achosn. If the shishvinim will eat by the chosn k'sha'oich le'etzel achosn, u'misamchen oisoi, and they are rejoicing with him. B'sech shivasim ha'mishta ol d'shav ha'brachas v'yoshvin sham besukkah en tzrichin levorich. They also won't need to make a bracha. Aval k'sha'oich le'beveisam chayavim besukkah v'tzrichin levorich. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that not everybody agrees to that. Oh, Machonim, that Mama's thing, what you are saying, that, come on, you can have Sheva Brachas, have the Sheva Brachas in the Sukkah, and afterwards go in your house, and you be Misameach each other, but doesn't mean that you have to be in the, you have to exempt from the Sukkah the whole time, and others are makers, they say that
it did.
No. No. Yes. The very close entourage. What you'd call the interferers in Yiddish, the ones who Mama's take them on the there are at the moment, it's a good question. Very good. That's a very good point that you're raising over here. What actually is their exemption? The chosn, of course, he's getting married, so that he's exempt. What about the shoshvinim? Why are they exempt? According to many Rishonim, it's because, as you mentioned now, because of the halach of of Osik Mitzvah Potter Manetzah, which will, by the way, we will see more of that soon. But it's probably based on that. Although there's the other Mahalachim as well, but that's the Poshta Mahalach of Osik So it's not, the chup over here is not referring to what we call the chuppah. It's more considered a yichud room or the fact of being, of them being together. And it's not necessarily the chuppah. The truth is that chuppah, the word chuppah, the connotation of chuppah is a machlokes rishonim exactly what that means. And what we call nowadays the yichud room, that chosn kalev, that's also according to many rishonim mechuppah. Yeah.
If the chosn chooses to be machmer upon himself, why would he not make a proclamation?
Because according to many rishonim, he's actually exempt. And therefore, he would be Bochel Vatol according to those.
It's Bochel Vatol
according to those Rishonim, yeah? Yes?
I'm a bit puzzled. Maybe I'm remembering wrongly, but I thought I learned that you don't have a Chasana on a Goy because it's mixing with.
Correct. What you're pointing out is very correct. There is no Chasana. You can't make a Chasana. And this is exactly, I skipped that line in Mishneh Berurah, and you're quite right, I shouldn't have. The Mishneh Berurah says that we're obviously talking about Umayr Shinoso Erev Aregel, or Kodim, must have got married before. Before, yeah, so correct, right. So that's a proof that I can't miss a line because I'll be caught out in a minute. So yes, okay. Siv Zayin. I know just the Sudas Bris Mila, just to the Sudas Bris Mila. The Sudas Bris Mila would have to be in the Sukkah. The Bi'aloch on the side of here points out that what will be the aloch if you've got a tiny Sukkah. Well, imagine if you've got a small sukkah, which is enough for you and your family, but suddenly you have to make a Sudas Bismillah in the sukkah, okay? You never knew that your wife was going to give birth just, a week before sukkahs. And now you have to accommodate the Sudas Bismillah. And now you can't accommodate more than yourself and your and a couple of other people. You haven't got enough space. So what you want to do, you want to go to home base and buy an additional, maybe ask very capable people to assist you in making the sukkah a little bit. But the problem is that can you do that on Chol HaMoed? Can you start extending this? We're not talking about an extension of the house, we're talking about a sukkah. Can you extend the sukkah for the sake of a Sudas Bismillah on Chol HaMoed? Make it from scratch.
Is it better to use an existing one?
But you haven't got. You've got only a small one. Would it be better to just make a small Sudas Bismillah and you're going to have three people? Or would you rather extend it and have 10?
78
extend it and have 10.
Well, what's the Shaila?
The Shaila is because you're building on Chol HaMoed.
And it's not the Turf of Moed.
Arguably.
No. Okay.
Might not be a tzarech at all, maybe.
Sudas mitzvah
allows you to extend the sukkah. Is that what you're saying? Yeah?
Is there a difference if you get someone professional?
Oh, good point. Does it make a difference? If you get someone... So you're saying that if... What's the point you're making? Somebody professional as opposed to somebody not so professional? Or you, is it somebody suit for somebody else as opposed to yourself? What's the point that you're making?
You're not doing yourself.
It's asking somebody else to do it. So if you say you would ask a goy to do it for you, would that make it any better?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the emphasis we learned with regards to the Chol HaMoed generally that if you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to goy to do it. You're not allowed to ask goy, generally speaking. But over here, the truth is that the Bi'alocha says the following: it's a good Bi'alocha to know. It's on the side of here. Dibra Maskel Sudas Bismillah. He brings over here in the name of the Bikuri Yaakov, in the name of the Ochlaner. Ve'ot kasav shemi sheyesh lo isuka in the middle of the Bi'alocha. Shemishesh l'sukkah k'tana, somebody's got a small sukkah, mutter livnois l'sukkah g'doyla b'chol HaMoed. He's allowed to extend and build himself a sukkah g'doyla, build himself a bigger, larger sukkah b'chol HaMoed, l'tzoyrech Sudas Bris Mila. For the sake of Sudas Bris Mila, and now he adds some very interesting words, the half of l'tzoyrech HaMoed, because this is considered l'tzoyrech HaMoed. It's considered the need of the, it's necessary now. If you can, yes, but we're saying that you don't even have to go that far. You're saying that you don't have to go that far. But I'm going to be asking you, based on this that we're learning now, an interesting halach, what happens if you just built a sukkah before Yom Tov, and it's realizing that it's a bit too small. You know, the kids have grown since last year, and you've more, it's just not happening, it's not working, it's uncomfortable. First, the Chol HaMoed is saying, okay, forget it, it's just too uncomfortable. And you want to now build it a bit. You want to make it a bit bigger. Add another two panels. You want to add another two walls on the side. Just make it big. Can you do that?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about for bris milah now. I'm going a step further now.
If it's going to be sukkah, it's a mitzvah as well.
Very good. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, from this bialocha now we're learning that bialocha is saying that the tzorich bris milah you can extend it because that's considered tzorich hamoed. So surely, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, if it's for the tzorich hamoed per se, for sure you can. If it's for because you're not comfortable in the sukkah, that's for sure permitted. So you're allowed to. Yes, based on this bialocha, you can build, add to the sukkah on Chol HaMoed if needed. And it's not a problem at all. I think it's an important bialocha. Yeah. Okay, see, yeah, that all makes sense. What do you think about that, Abosai? It's a good proof? You happy with it? It's quite, it's, I think it's very straight. I think it makes a lot of sense.
So it's okay to do some anyway, just to extend.
Or do you think there's any reason to not allow it? Shlomo Zalman is happy with it. What do you think? Do you think there's any reason, any svar to disagree with that?
Well, I mean, I'm saying if you're to extend yourself on the Kolam Road, it's quite a big job.
You're saying that ideally you should try to ask a goy to do it, or you're saying that ideally you should try to. Generally, when you can't, it's, as opposed to the Chashabas, if you're allowed to do it, if you're not allowed to do it, generally you're not allowed to ask a goy to do it either. So it wouldn't really help that much to ask a goy to do it. So you're saying that what? So you're saying even on Shabbos days, yeah, Mishnah Berurah doesn't, yeah, okay, yeah, I hear your point, yeah. Yeah. Good question, Rabbi Yisrael. I would like to share this question. It's a very interesting question. What is better? Let's say it really turns out that the sukkah is too small. Imagine the question is too small and you want to now extend it. Is it better to extend the sukkah on first day Chol HaMoed? Makes them more comfortable there, or rather to leave it and then to go to somebody else's sukkah, the shul sukkah or something like that, to have the meals there. I think that's the thing. I don't think that will happen. I don't think you're going to end up going elsewhere. You're probably just going to squash and manage that, you know, somehow. I don't know, you know. To be more comfortable. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Abosai? What would be better?
More
to start, man, yeah? Yeah, Pashtus would be permitted. Pashtus, you don't have to go that far. For Pashtus, it is a mitzvah, and I'm offered still to do it. Because to have you, probably, I assume. So you're going to end up being much more in that sukkah. If it's your own sukkah in your back garden, you're going to end up being much more. Okay. Siv ches. Shluchei. Siv shli. Siv zayin. Shluchei mitzvah. Pturim min sukkah. Shluchei mitzvah, which literally translates into people who are sent to do a mitzvah, pturim in a sukkah, are exempt from the sukkah, ben b'yoy, whether it's by day, ben b'layla, whether it's in the night. Very essential halach over here. Shluchei mitzvah, pturim in a sukkah. The Mishneh Berurah quoting over here, Rishonim says, what does that mean? Sivkot lamed hey. Shluchei mitzvah, gun shoholich la'ag b'pnei rabbi, such as you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of kabbalos p'nei rabbi, which, by the way, the mitzvah of visiting one's rab, according to a person's rebbe, a person's teacher, according to many Rishonim, nowadays it doesn't even exist anymore. Mishneh Berurah seems to be learning, although Beis HaMikdash is outstanding, it's still a mitzvah to go and visit one's teacher in Chol HaMoed. And you can see that some people are makpid to go to their rebbe, to their Rosh Hashivas. It's not always practical if he's in a different country, but if he's local, to go to one's rebbe, one's rav, and to visit him on Chol HaMoed. I was talking to a proper rebbe, proper rav. I wasn't. Pturim min asukah. So he said, "Abner Rabbi, oh, lilmoy Torah, or to learn Torah. If you're going to learn Torah, I want to speak about that. It's a Hashem. That's a very important point. Oh, lipidin shvuyim. We are going to fulfill the mitzvah of redeeming shvuyim. V'chiyot zebazeh. If you're going to redeem prisoners, all that on your way. So on your way to fulfill that mitzvah, you are exempt from the mitzvah." Of sitting in the sukkah. Again, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of, you're redeeming people, yidden from a prison. Don't know how you've got some connections and you can somehow redeem people from prison. You're going to Japan to redeem people from prisons. You're going to prisons and you're the man who can solve the problem. You're the man who can help. So as you're traveling, you're exempt from mitzvah sukkah. You can eat, you can wash hamotzi. You can have anything without sukkah, no problem, because you're shluchah mitzvah. Same also when it comes to going to learn Torah. You can't learn here, so well, you need to go to a certain besmatish, you need to go to dirshu shir, you need to go to certain, you can't learn otherwise, you just need to have that. Then, the halacha again, if you're on your way to learn, Torah, you're exempt from mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. Now let me ask an interesting question that I'll only discuss at this point. A person who learns Torah is exempt from mitzvah sukkah?
He's exempt from why he's learning Torah. If he can learn more efficiently and in a better state.
Very good. You're absolutely correct. You're quoting an explicit, quoting beautifully a Shulchan Aruch and a Gemara that you are beautifully, yes, that if a person can concentrate at home better, he's exempt from sitting in sukkah. But really, generally speaking, is there a general heter for somebody who's learning Torah doesn't have to sit in the sukkah? There's a general heter? Of course not. Somebody who is learning Torah still has to sit in the sukkah. So can I ask you a question? That's the question that Achronim ask. I don't understand. Shluchah mitzvah we're learning now is a potent mitzvah. Somebody is going to on a journey to learn Torah. He's exempt from sitting in the sukkah. But once he's starting to learn, and then he suddenly becomes chayav to sit in the sukkah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Once he has arrived his destination, he's chayav.
Because one's either or, and one is you can do both together. That's you can sit in the sukkah while you're traveling to learn, but you can learn while you're in the sukkah.
So you could really, I see.
With one, you can get into shalos and tadiv, shalos, tadiv, tadiv, tadiv. But with the other,
that's a very interesting point that you're saying.
You wouldn't get into that shalos because it's not.
What do you think about that, Rabbi Yisai? Well, what do you think? Did the question make sense? And the question is an awesome question that you're traveling, you're exempt. That we're learning now, shluchah mitzvah, you're traveling exempt from sitting. But once you arrived and you're learning Torah, now you're learning Torah, somebody's learning Torah is obligated to sit in the sukkah. So how does that make sense? That the way to the sukkah is more stringent than learning Torah itself. That's very strange. But that's one approach that you're saying. I like it. Very, very interesting. Did you want to say something else?
I'm a little bit confused. You're only supposed to sit in the sukkah so.
Correct.
So the Bate Midrashim, full of people learning Bechavos, learning, in groups, whatever, during Sukkot.
Yeah.
That's what they did all year. So
correct.
They don't have to.
Correct.
The Shia because
right, but is this somebody who specifically, this is therefore what you're saying?
So that, I'm saying there isn't a default position that just because you're learning Torah, you have to learn in the Sukkot. If you aren't doing anything else, and you're going to learn to learn in the sukkah. But
right.
If you're going to yeshiva, you're going to yeshiva. And if that's the shul, that's the shul.
Good, correct. So therefore, you're 100% right.
I'm saying it's not so posh that you're more potter from sukkah when you're traveling than when you arrive.
Right. I see. I hear what you're saying. Right. I hear what you're saying. Right. I hear you hear that. The Achronim, what they say a point over here, they say that, it's some an interesting point, that they say that the learning Torah really, how often you fulfill a mitzvah of learning Torah? As you're learning. When do you fulfill the mitzvah?
Every word.
Whether you're listening or whether you're speaking, every word is a mitzvah on its own. So therefore, you're not really oisik by mitzvah as you're learning Torah. Because every word you're saying is a mitzvah on its own. You are stepping onto the next mitzvah straight away. Therefore, you're not considered oisik b'mitzvah, potam and a mitzvah. This exemption won't apply. Because the exemption of oisik b'mitzvah, potam and a mitzvah is if you're engaged in something that's taking a certain amount of time. Like you're traveling towards the mitzvah. Now you're oisik b'mitzvah. You're traveling to the destination where you're going to be learning Torah. You know, I'll be exempt from sitting in the sukkah. But as you're starting to learn, so now every word is a mitzvah on its own, so you could the head of every mitzvah, bottom of the mitzvah won't apply, which is a very, very interesting point. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow, mitzvah.